Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're brothers. We're happy and we're singing and we're...
It's Jason and John on Memphis's sports station, 92.9 FM ESPN. Presented live and locally by the Wing Guru. The Wing Guru.
Who that man, this what you been waiting for? I mean the game was all bad just a week ago. Rappers was listening, I ain't hating though, cause now I'm getting hot enough to we wanna stay at home. And she can't tell the difference. I've been through hell conditions, wishing for air conditioning, feeling God was never listening. Now I'm on television. And did I fail to mention? Your girl is hot, a missionary, boy, you failed the mission. Speaking of positions, just witness how I elevated. Real if you celebrated, finger poke whoever hated. My life accelerated, but had to wait my turn, then I redecorated. That mean my table's turned. Live life, might as well. Only way to learn is try and fail. Clientele, the only way to earn. So if you're selling, or if you're selling rap, make sure it's mean so the fiends keep on selling back. Who that? Who that? That got that flame. Who that? Who that? That got that flame. Who that? Who that? That got that flame. So don't worry about my name. I gotta say, who that?
All right. Who that? You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM ESPN. It is the last day of January. As a matter of fact, it is Thursday, and we're coming in here off a double shot of L's, John. Yesterday was a double shot of Memphis basketball, and then you come in here and you take L's in both of them. Memphis Tigers lose at Tulsa, man, and come out looking a lot like they did in the loss to Temple. Come out not punching first, as Penny Hardaway would put it. And they get punched and walloped and lose a road game to Tulsa that it was a mess. Other side of things, you go to Minnesota, very cold Minnesota. Your Memphis Grizzlies played pretty well. Had a chance, John, like they have in the last 3-4. Win, it comes down to a last possession, and unfortunately, that last one goes to Karl-Anthony Towns and gets the shot to win it in overtime. Grizzlies go down. Double shot of L, John. Can you take it?
No. It's been a long year, but we're finally at the end of January. So I am glad to finally be at the end. It has been a long year, you know, when you break it down. We've gone through a lot this month.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, look, we know where the Grizzlies are at right now. We know what they're going through. The trade talk, Mike and Mark.
Yeah.
Team's struggling. So if you're looking at the two losses and saying, you know, which one's more disappointing, it certainly you would have to, you know, for anyone that pays attention to basketball, Memphis, you'd certainly have to point to that Memphis Tigers loss. That was a team that looked like it was on the uptick, and it goes into Tulsa and gets smacked. And for the Grizzlies, it's just a continuation of things. Very unfortunate night of hoops for Hoop City last night on the road.
Yeah, Free Calkins, by the way.
What's wrong with him?
Free Calkins, man.
What happened?
He got pulled over.
I heard y'all talking about that coming in here. Are y'all serious? He didn't get a ticket.
Yeah, he got a ticket, man. Free Calkins.
For real?
Yeah, man. You gotta be careful on these streets, out in these streets, man. Don't speed. I know you're trying to get back. You know, it was ugly.
I don't blame him. I remember driving back to Memphis off some, you know, covering some Memphis losses at Tulsa. That's a long drive after the hill.
It is a long drive.
You want to get back quick.
You got to go through dusty Arkansas. You know, it's about
5-6 hours, if I'm not mistaken.
It's a very long and boring drive,
it
for
sure.
Sure
is. You want to get home.
All right, here's what we got going on the show today. At 11:25, we are going to be joined by the couch slouch, Norman Chad. Norman Chad, most recently, you probably would know him for his contributions to the World Series of Poker.
Right? Yeah.
He's a commentator. He's a co-host of the World Series of Poker every year on ESPN. Now, I would like you to give me your best Norman Chad poker impersonation.
Here comes the river.
That's good.
That's really good.
Wamboozled.
I'm going to be honest with you. We need more black people in poker. It's just true.
Well, it's not going to sound like that.
Well, okay, so how would you say it? If you were a poker commentator, how would you do it?
Well, it'd be smooth. It'd be like here comes the river.
Oh, it'd be tubby.
Don't you like that?
Yeah,
Yeah.
Wouldn't that make a lot, give it a lot of flavor?
Yeah, it would give
it. I think so.
It would give
What'd
it
What do you think, Millsy? I thought it was pretty smooth.
I thought that was really
smooth. The only thing would be if I had a cigarette in my mouth.
I would say there are more cards than just a river, though, so you're going to have to learn.
Well, I know I got to get some more calls.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, how about you try
That's what I got.
How about you try that with the turn? Go ahead. Try it with the turn.
I can't. What's the proper way to say, here comes the turn?
Yeah.
Here comes the turn.
Okay.
I don't know. I got to work on that one. I've only worked on river, as you can tell.
Yeah, you've really worked on the last one. You know, but
we're not just going to ask Norman Chad about poker. Please tell me, because you can see it'd be like a Tom Pinder's interview where I have nothing.
No. Well, you didn't have anything for different reasons in that one, but no, he actually has a column up at the Washington Post about the Super Bowl.
That's right.
About the Patriots, where he says, I cannot do this again. I cannot live through another Patriots Super Bowl victory.
It's a pretty funny column.
And, you know, the reality is, who can?
We kind of all feel what he's talking about, right?
The only people that disagree with him live in, like, two states, you know, in New Hampshire, Rhode Island, you know, and Massachusetts.
You probably better say in the Northeast. There's some of them up there.
Well, New York doesn't root for the Patriots.
Well, that part does not.
Okay, maybe Maine, Connecticut. Maybe.
No, there's a lot of Tom Brady fans up there.
Yeah, you're right. Those little states that nobody cares about. They all root
for Patriots.
Yeah, they definitely do. You're right. So, like, I don't know, maybe 8 or 9 states are rooting.
Either way, most of the country, I would imagine, is feeling just like Chad. We're rooting against Tom Brady.
He has been in 50% of all Super Bowls in the last 18 years.
Does that qualify us all, that part of the country that's just rooting against him because he's Tom Brady and he's great? Does that qualify us as haters? Pretty sure it does. We talk about having to look in the mirror on
you know,
this show,
this is
that makes us haters.
This is something that I was thinking about.
We're just rooting against him because it's Tom.
This is what I was thinking about at some point this week, right? So I am sick of watching the Patriots in the Super Bowl. I think you are sick of watching the Patriots in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be nice. Yeah, obviously.
But we all agree.
I respect the greatness.
We all agree that Tom Brady is the best to ever do it.
Certainly.
You can't argue it. It is an indisputable fact at this point. But who is the last great one, right? Who we would say, we're tired of watching them. We're tired of seeing them.
I didn't understand it because I was in the circle of guys rooting for Michael Jordan and the Bulls, but I remember hearing it in folks saying they were sick of it.
Say that?
I think so. The same way they'd say they were tired of watching the Patriots, they were tired of watching the Bulls go to 6 finals in, 8 years?
Right.
They were tired of that.
But, I mean, did people say they were sick of seeing Serena?
I mean,
you respect the
greatness of it, but, I mean, yeah, I think we've seen this before. We've seen it with the Bulls. They got tired of it.
People never said they got sick of watching Tiger Woods. You know what I mean?
No, he's different. I don't know. I don't know why that's different, but I don't recall hearing that.
Yeah, Roger Federer. Did anybody say, I'm so sick of watching Roger Federer. I can't bear to see him in the Grand Slam final. You know, I just don't feel like.
Maybe not. I think that's the way it was for the Bulls. But, again, I was on the inside of the ones rooting for him, but I remember all my buddies were tired of seeing him in there. They were rooting against him.
Yeah. It's an interesting dynamic. We'll talk to Norman Chad about that at 11:25. At 12:25, we will continue the Super Bowl conversation with Ian O'Connor, who will join us. He has a book out about Bill Belichick and the mystique of Coach Belichick and the hoodie. So we will talk to him. He's there in Atlanta. So we will talk to him about that. We will talk to him about the game.
He says, and doesn't that book pretty much sum up that if Tom had his way, he wouldn't be doing it with Bill?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Both of them sort of recognize they need each other, but it's gotten so tense here lately that if they could.
Well, there was a time, it was like a year or two ago, that there was that big story about the trainer and Bill saying.
Yeah, there was that, but it really started when you picked Garoppolo, you know, mm-hmm. and Bill and he commented at that time, you know, I'd rather do it early than late.
And then they traded.
And that started.
GBG,
then your trainer and then, you know, all that stuff gets in there and it's gotten tense.
Yeah, and so we'll talk to Ian O'Connor about all of that. And more at 12:25. And then if he is so long as he's not incarcerated, we will talk to Jeff Calkins.
Gosh, I didn't even think about that.
At 1:25. He could be in jail.
Wonder how fast he was going.
Yeah. We'll talk to Jeff Calkins at 1:25. He was there last night, obviously, for the University of Memphis game against Tulsa, which I suppose is where we need to start. I don't know. I mean, it was hard to watch yet again. Another road game.
Oh, man.
And we usually reserve these. I mean, the Grizzlies count, too. I mean, the Grizzlies lost a heartbreaker yesterday. Buzzer beater against the Timberwolves in overtime. But it was yet another road game where I just feel like I'm having nightmares. Like, and I just keep waking up in the same thing. Like
Groundhog Day, Bill Murray.
Oh, wow, Memphis is on the road again. Mm. And they're down 10 points in the first 3 minutes. How does it continue to happen? Why does it continue to happen? Because You know, I can maybe understand the Temple game, right? I can maybe understand Temple because they're, you know, they came out on fire and they're one of the better teams in the AAC, at least, you know, standings-wise.
Right.
I mean, yesterday, I mean, I wonder, I really do think this team starts to feel itself, right? Like, they start to feel themselves and they think they're better than they actually are.
Mm-hmm.
And they go on the road against a Tulsa team that's in the bottom half of the league. And they get punched in the mouth, and they don't. I mean, they never recover.
To that point you just made, I will be interested to see how they respond to South Florida because I'm thinking some of the same thing. These road losses, you know, after Temple comes after a good performance against SMU. This one obviously comes after a good performance against UCF at home. And so for USF this weekend, you're coming off that L. You're not coming off a thoroughly, you know, a dominant performance, let's put it that way.
Yep.
So to that point, I'm with you. I want to see how they respond against South Florida, see if it's the same thing, because you can't come in there high.
Yep.
You know, off this one into South Florida. So I like your point there. Here's the other point I would make. I would understand this more in terms of the difference, the Jekyll and Hyde between home and road.
Right.
If it was the freshmen that were the ones struggling on the road because they're going through this the first time. It's their first time through a lot of these places, all that. The problem is, it's your senior leaders. It's Keeban Davenport. It's Jeremiah Martin. Last night, Jeremiah Martin, and he played better down the stretch. Tried to pull him back in, and he's played well for the most part this season. But 6 turnovers, John Martin. You realize that in road games this year, I went and checked it today. He's averaging over 4 turnovers. 6 yesterday at home. 2.
Yep.
2. That's your senior leader. That's the guy that's been through this before. Keeban Davenport last night. I tell you this. It's not an effort thing. It's not so much an energy thing. I know they've been focused on that, but just take Keeban Davenport's game, for example. He starts that game 0-9 from the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And you're thinking, man, Keeban's not giving you a damn thing. You look in the rebounding column, he's got 8-9 rebounds.
Yep.
On that 0-9. This is first half.
Yep.
And so again, the energy is there.
Yep.
But he's shooting shots he shouldn't be shooting. He's taking crazy shots. You're double teamed down there. You're shooting wild looking for the foul. And, John, that comes back. You know what that comes down to? It comes down to mental discipline. That's what it comes down to. Because it's on the road, you do have, you and I both know this, you have to be more focused because you aren't going to get those calls. The kind of calls that you're going up hoping you get and you're not getting them, you don't get those on the road. And you have to know that as seniors.
Right.
You have to take better care of that ball on the road.
It's true.
And that comes down to mental discipline. And look, we can lay this at the feet of Jeremiah Martin and Keeban Davenport if we want to. But look, you can't praise Penny Hardaway, right, for putting all this together, right? It's half of Tubby's guys, your guys,
yep,
for looking so good against SMU and UCF and not say Penny. Got to have your guys better prepared than that. They've got to be, you know, and I know you'll tell me, well, Keeban ain't his. Jeremiah ain't his. Well, he's been doing awfully well. He's done a good job of making them his this year. And when they have won, we've said that. So in this case, again, we can't say, well, they're not his on a loss, all right? And so that goes back down to you come off of UCF saying, hey, man, we feel like we can play with anybody in the country. And I know you're trying to instill confidence in your team and you're feeling good.
Yep.
You can't come out like that and have your team not prepared mentally.
I'm going to agree with you.
You're the one's got to bring them down. To your point, you got to cut. If it's a little bit of success you're feeling,
yep,
after a pretty much not the other 20-point win over UCF, as a coach, you got to bring them down.
Here's the reality. Here's the truth. If Penny's name was not Penny Hardaway and he was not a all-time great at the University of Memphis and he was just a normal, like if he was Josh Passman, right,
mm-hmm,
and he said what he said last night. I understand that, like, this is not – this year will not define in any way, shape, or form the Penny Hardaway tenure.
At
okay?
all.
This is very much a throwaway year, right? Maybe we're hoping to glean some things and learn some things about Penny.
And I think we have.
And the development of the younger guy. But by and large, this is just a year that will be, you know, short of something magical and miraculous happening, it will be wiped away forever. But if it was Josh Pastner who said after a loss, you know – We tell them, we prepare them, we tell them what they have to do. They have to stay ready. They have to be better than usual. They have to be, you know, twice as intense. And then the game, we wouldn't let it fly. Like, we would not.
We said it about Josh getting.
You cannot.
Just saying that and them not doing it is you clearly not, you got to reach them.
Yep.
And that's the part of a coach. Look, that's what I want to be fair about is that we've praised Penny for the buttons he's pushed and the way he's gotten through this team, right? The way he's been able to pull something out of Isaiah Maurice, you know, against UCF when you need it. You got to be able to reach him when it comes to that discipline, that first punch too. That's on you too. And again, I know Penny's not out there playing,
right?
And you've got seniors that you expect to be the leaders, but again, you got seniors that are playing loose and jacking shots. And look, if they're going to be an example to when and you want them to be to those freshmen, your foundation, you want them on the same page as you've got them freshmen on. You're holding them as accountable as you are those freshmen,
right?
And so last night, I'm not. It was all of those things sort of coming together. In a way that we've seen before on the road, looking like a carbon copy, frustrates you. It frustrates you because it seems like when this team takes a step forward, it hits the road right on back to square one.
And clearly Penny is frustrated because he's like, okay, what is it with you guys? Because at home, I get a locked-in team on both ends.
It's part of Penny's growth as a college coach. Look, grassroots, high school.
Yep.
He had the talent to overpower everybody.
Every time.
This year, with a team that's talented, even we said it going in, we think it's as talented or more talented than anybody in the AAC.
No doubt about it.
Sometimes talent doesn't just win it. You got to make adjustments. And we point out his adjustments. Rebounding, they've gotten better on. Defensively, 2 games ago, they were great. Last night, they were not. They've made good adjustments.
Yep.
So my point is, for him, he's got to find a way, John, when we're talking about his growth, right? He's got to find a way that when things feel like they're out of your control, right?
Yep.
You got to find where your responsibility is in that. It's not always just on the players. That's what I'm saying.
It can't be.
No.
I mean, in the end, like, you are the coach of the team. And when you're starting in a 10-point hole, a 12-point hole, you're down 20 points at Temple. You know, you're down 15. I mean, it got downright embarrassing in the first half last night. You know, in the end, you know, and we have been, I think, mostly fair to Penny. Like, we have not, you know, we have not given him undue praise, and we have not criticized him wrongly. But I think in this situation, you know, some of the responsibility has got to fall on Penny when it comes to preparation. Mm-hmm. Tulsa is not a good team. Now, they've beaten some good teams early in the year, or some decent teams at home. Kansas State, they beat there in Tulsa, and then Oklahoma State, they beat there in Tulsa. But, you know, when it's the same thing happening game after game after game and it's not changing,
right?
I mean, that's going to come down to coaching. Like, that's something that you have to adjust to.
Yeah.
You know, and again, Penny's doing a good job.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Penny's doing a good job. I'm not trying to be.
This isn't sound the alarm stuff.
No,
us watching a guy have to grow in his first time as a college coach, which we knew he would have to.
Absolutely.
And I think it's us, and you talked about his frustration, seeing Penny sort of for the first time say, well, maybe not know what the right button is. This one's out of my control. Wait a minute.
Right.
You know, I tell these guys what to do. We have them prepared. We look so good against SMU, UCF. I don't. And you have to find out where you step in, where you can. And to your point, when it keeps happening again and again on the road, that's something you got to fix.
Yeah.
And they've done a good job of fixing things this year.
Yeah.
He's got to fix this.
This is just, you know, one thing that you just can't help but notice. I mean, this is – you know, they're not a good road team, and it's just, yes, they always make a run. They always punch back eventually. Last night, it was Tyler Harris scoring 18 points in the second half.
It's because they're the more talented team.
Right.
Eventually, that breaks through.
But again, it's so frustrating because you're having to do that. You're having to get these supernova runs, right, whether it's against Temple, you know, at the end of the first half, and then you make another run in the second half. You know, you're in such a hole that it ends up being all for naught.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and eventually those teams that you're making a run against, like, they will be able to take the punch because the lead is so big.
Yeah.
You know, they're up 10, 12, 15, you know, and so you're just starting in these big holes where if you just brought that effort from the jump. And I'm sure Penny's saying, like, this isn't news to him. I'm sure he's saying, hey, we've been doing this every time we're on the road.
Right.
You know, we're getting these big. But, again, I don't know if it's a lineup. You know, Isaiah Maurice continues to be in the starting lineup for some reason. I don't understand that. You know, I'm going to be honest with you. But clearly there is something that is not clicking away from FedEx Forum, and it's a very bizarre thing, to be honest.
You're right about another thing, is that, you know, a year from now, 2 years from now, Penny's first season will be just like Josh's first season was. You remember that? I mean, Elliot Williams had a, you know, shot.
Josh's first season, weirdly, was one of his best.
It was actually a good year.
Yeah.
And you end up forgetting about it because it gets so much greater in year two, year three. And you're right. You've got this chance in the conference tournament with it being here. We've seen that team at home. It's just a different team. They're 11-1. The only losses to Tennessee was by 10.
Yep.
Tennessee's the number one team in the nation. So you have that advantage and that opportunity to be in the conference tournament, John. So you can sort of say, well, hey, this stuff doesn't matter. That'll be your shot. This team was never going to the NCAA tournament as an at-large. You can say that.
Yep.
But to have that best shot in that conference tournament,
mm-hmm.
you want to win games like last night at Tulsa against subpar teams on the road. That's how you get to the top four.
Yep.
That's how you're having to then 3 games in 3 days with that first round bye in the AAC tournament as opposed to 4-4. That's why last night does matter. Even in the grand scheme of things, last night matters because you give yourself the best shot in the conference tournament where, let's face it, they have been damn good.
They've been great.
For all these questions, we've got them about them on the road. And Penny, how do you reach them and get them, first punch, all that stuff. Keevan, how do you get them to play better? Jeremiah.
Yep.
We haven't had those questions at all at home because they play damn fine at home.
They do.
They're a good team at home.
They are an NCAA tournament team at home.
And that's why with that conference tournament there, man, you cannot – I had somebody hit me last night on Twitter, NDQ. I think I'm just doing that off the top of my head.
Mm-hmm.
He knows who he is.
You remember everything.
And he said, man, these seniors, I think according along these lines, man, these seniors just don't have it. I'm checking out till next year.
Wow.
And come on, man.
They're not that bad.
Well, however you feel, whether they're good or bad right now, and they're certainly better than last year's team, which at this point was like 160 at KenPom. This team's 81 at KenPom.
Real quick, they have the same record.
They have the exact same 13-8 record, but it's two different things.
And Memphis played a joke of a schedule last year.
Yes, they did.
Like 13 of those, like more than half of those wins were against Siena, Albany, New Orleans, Bryant, Mercer, Northern Kentucky.
Back to the point. It ain't time to check out till next year because you got the conference tournament ahead of you. I don't care what happens the rest of the way, even if it is. They don't finish top four in the AAC as they were projected to this preseason. You've still got that shot in the conference tournament. You're still watching Penny Hardaway grow as a first-year college coach.
Absolutely.
You're still watching the foundation being set with these freshmen.
Yep.
It ain't time to check out because you lost to Tulsa. Yeah, it was a disappointing loss, but this team still got plenty more opportunity in front of it in Penny's first year. And, again, they've got that opportunity because they're so damn good at home. It's a big advantage. It's a big opportunity for them having that conference tournament. But, again, you want to be top four. You want to give yourself the best chance.
By the way, they play Cincinnati next Thursday. So, a week from now they play Cincinnati. So you're just not going to care about that. Come on. It's going to be great. And you know what? They'll probably win the game.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
They'll probably win the game because it's at home. That's what history tells us.
Mm-hmm.
So, listen, there are lessons you learn along the way. And I think last night is one that Penny and that team will look back on as very frustrating, especially if they just missed a first-round bye.
Yeah.
That will be one, your favorite in that game. It was their first loss as a favorite this season. So, that is definitely one that I think they will look back on and be like, damn, we let that one slip. So
got to play with that same chip on your shoulder that you do at home on the road. Playing with that, respect, do that on the road as well.
No doubt. Yeah. I thought my mentions would be a little bit more busy than they were last night, but it wasn't too bad.
A couple Tennessee folks.
It wasn't too bad.
I thought about that. I think it's fun.
Oh, I love it.
Back in Tennessee's watching, 100%. You drop one.
So,
and
it's just relevant.
We all know as soon as the Vols drop one, we're going to be all over them. And that is fun.
That's great.
The back and forth is fun.
That's what
with
college
the
sports is supposed to
be about. Exactly. All right,
when we come back, we're going to be joined by Norman Chad. We will talk to him about Tom Brady and the Patriots, his thoughts, who he's rooting for, and more. Jason and John, 93.9 FM, ESPN.
Guests appear on the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Hotline.
Broadcasting on 92.9, 680 AM and online at 92.9ESPN.com. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
All right, we're back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. And as promised, his name is Norman Chad. He's a sports columnist over at the Washington Post and World Series of Poker commentator. And he joins us now. Mr. Chad, how are you?
I've seen better.
Okay.
Oh, man.
Well, I mean, what's got you so what's got you so down in the dumps,
that
man?
Damn Tom Brady, huh?
No, that has nothing to do with Tom Brady. It's just I'm on the West Coast. It's early. I usually don't wake up till noon, so everything's fine.
I mean, you could be in the polar vortex. Jesus. I mean, it could be. We could be so much worse.
Oh, without question. I've felt guilty since moving to Los Angeles 25 years ago. I don't even mention the weather here to my friends back east.
Oh, it's, yeah. Like 40 degrees for us. It's like we can't leave the house in Memphis. So that's what we're going through. All right, so what is the worst thing about the New England Patriots?
Some of it's not their fault because success does breed contempt. So they've been very successful, which is, you know, to their credit. But between the way they've got there through the Tuck rule and through Spygate and Deflategate, through Robert Kraft's power shirt that I'm so tired of seeing, I wish he'd go to Ross Dress for Less and buy a second shirt. And Belichick in his hoodie, and Brady left one supermodel for another supermodel, and they never lose. The ball seems to bounce their way all the time. So I give them credit, but a lot of us are just sick and tired of it.
Yeah, I'm with you, but it is interesting because we were talking about it earlier. You know, were you sick of watching Michael Jordan in the NBA Finals?
No, you know, again, some people, again, like I said, success breeds contempt. So some people used to get tired of the old Celtics in the 60s mm-hmm. and the Yankees and Alabama football recently. And Michael Jordan, I understand that. So there's always haters. There's LeBron haters because he makes the finals every year. No, I didn't get sick of that. There's something different about the Patriots. There's something obviously different about Belichick, and they just seem to be the dark evil empire.
Mm-hmm.
What they've done is remarkable because we've never seen a coach and a quarterback last this long and have go to the Super Bowl every other year. And it just ruins the holiday. I mean, the Super Bowl's a big holiday.
Yeah.
I don't want to wake up Super Bowl morning with the Patriots. You know, it's like waking up Christmas morning with acne. You know, it just ruins the whole damn holiday.
But just personally, Norman, is there more disdain for Tom or Belichick? Is it the same amount? Is it equal amounts? What would you say?
It's Belichick. You know, and I was way wrong on Belichick. I used to write an NFL gambling picks column.
Yep.
And I made fun of Belichick every year he was in Cleveland. And he was a loser there. He was 36-44, and I figured even if he won, nobody wanted to play for him. And I couldn't believe he got a second chance, and, you know, I'm the idiot. He's obviously an extraordinary coach, but just the way he handles himself publicly, whatever question you answer, you ask him, the answer is yes or no. You can ask him what time it is, and he'll go yes or no. He just doesn't, you know, I understand that he sees the media and everything else is a distraction. You know, World War III would be a distraction for his two-a-days in spring practice. But it's just something about him, you just don't want to root for him. And I get tired of rooting, and I don't want to root against people. I prefer, you know, it's not emotionally healthy. I like to root for people. I didn't even root against the British in the Revolutionary War. It's not good to root against people.
It's not. That's
you bring up something interesting. Who's worse, him or Popovich? Which one would you rather, you know, which one's the least, the one you want to interview least? I guess it's for you, Belichick, because of the winning and all that, but Pop's tough too, right, Norm?
Pop's tough too, and Pop's, they're both very smart guys, and they're both the top coaches of their profession or their generation. But, you know, Popovich, you know, if you ask him a stupid question, and almost every question to him is a stupid question,
mm-hmm.
he's going to treat you like a pile of manure.
Yep.
And so he's tough to be around. You can see in news conferences, no one wants to ask him a question, which is absurd. It's just sports.
Mm-hmm.
It's just sports, you know. But, yeah, they're neck and neck. I guess I prefer Popovich because he's a little more playful sometimes.
Yep.
But, yeah, they're both a handful.
Yeah, Belichick never playful. You're right.
Norman, did you know that Bill Belichick and Tom Brady in their, you know, whatever, 18, 19 years together, however long it's been, they have never shared a social meal together?
I did not know that. It doesn't surprise me. First of all, I can't believe they have the same social circles, but you would think that somewhere along the line, especially in the off season, that they would, you know, being the two standards of the franchise, that they would sit down and have dinner together. I did not know that. I'm kind of surprised. I assume Belichick orders most of his meals either at a drive-thru or he microwaves steaks for 30 seconds. I don't believe he takes time out to actually cook or be cooked for. he's going to order through a clown's mouth and get that food within 30 seconds.
I think you're right. Do you think because of what you just said about Bill Belichick, that he's basically stoic all the time and, like, just doesn't show any personality, like, do you think that would make him a half-decent poker player?
Oh, yeah. By the way, away from football, you know, people who know Belichick, you know, say he has a sense of humor, and he's human like the rest of us. You know, we just don't see it on the sideline. But he has got an extraordinary poker face. Only, you know, once in a while he'll throw off the headset if somebody missed a block. But he would be a tough person to face at a poker table, even if he didn't have that much poker experience. No one wants to be across from Bill Belichick.
Yeah, he would somehow always wake up with aces. Like, somehow always. That would always be his hand. And he's got the hoodie thing down. So I think he's halfway there. We are, of course, talking to Norman Chad. He's a sports columnist over at the Washington Post. You know him from the World Series of Poker. All right, so you're there in L.A. The Rams are in the Super Bowl. I imagine the city must just be on fire.
I would imagine it's the exact opposite. The city is more, you know, it's about to rain in the next hour. When it rains here, the city stops. So it's going to rain for 3 days. There were not an extraordinary amount of Rams fans here. There are, but it's not very active here. It's a different sporting population.
Right.
Half the city doesn't even know that the Rams were playing during the season. And that's a lot better than the Chargers. 95% of the people in Los Angeles don't even know the Chargers are here. So, yeah, there's sports fans here, but there's no question it is not nearly as rabid as Philadelphia, as Chicago, as New York, as Boston, as what you think of traditionally back east and in the Midwest. It's just a different vibe here, and I've actually gotten used to it. I used to be a rabid sports fan, and then when you got out here, you go, what the heck, you know? Let me go rollerboard for a while. Let me go to the beach. Let me go have some kale. You just kind of lose interest in being rabid, yelling at people.
Well, don't the Chargers play on, like, an indoor soccer field or something?
That's 20-some thousand.
They do play at a soccer stadium that fits 27,000 people that they could not fill unless the opposing team brought their fans. It's really weird. There is no interest in the Chargers at this point. They were a terrific team this year. And they, it's a shame they're no longer in San Diego, and no one in San Diego has any interest in them in Los Angeles, and no one in Los Angeles, I swear, knows that they're here.
Yeah.
So, more people know about donut shops here than I know about the Chargers.
No, Tom Brady has not, as you know, probably do, has not been sacked this postseason. So more likely to happen, Brady getting sacked on Sunday, or there being three or more Super Bowl commercials that you actually like and understand?
That's close. So again, as you know, Brady can go entire games without being touched.
Yep.
So I gotta go with the Super Bowl on that prop bet. And that's the other disturbing thing about Brady, and again, it's no fault to his own. Mm-hmm. His protection most years has been unbelievable. It's like he's behind a wall and no one can get through that wall. And then if you get near him, once you get near him, the flag comes out, it seems, in my selective memory. So, again, their protection for him has been incredible. But, again, to Brady's credit, every year I get to midseason, I go, who exactly is his running back? Who's he throwing to? It's just a different group of guys. It's not like he's throwing to Jerry Rice. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like he's thrown to Larry Fitzgerald. He's thrown to guys that were working in Radio Shack a week ago, and his running backs change every year.
No, it is remarkable. All right, so, Norman, the Raiders need a home for 2019, as you know, it sounds like. Let me ask you this. How does Memphis Raiders sound? Lon was born here. Lon was born in Memphis. Can you get behind it?
Okay. Lon was born in Memphis and was on the first bus out before he was 6 hours old. Okay.
We still claim him. That's what we do. We claim Lon. We claim anybody that's ever passed through here.
I always stop him when he tells people he was born. He was born in Memphis, but he was out to the Bay Area in a hurry, and he loves Memphis. He just his family left. The Memphis Raiders sounds good. I like the sound. You know, I don't know if you want those Raider fans. They travel. They come on in. They come in on Greyhounds, on Trailways, and on Harleys. And then if you want them in town, oh my goodness, that's a tough game to go to. I went to a Raiders Chargers game once, and I was not comfortable with any part of the game. Now, sure, I'm a nerd. I got glasses. But that is a tough crowd. But, yeah, I'd love to see it would be nice to see Memphis get an NFL team. So if you want the Raiders for 1 year, go for it.
You made it out of that game, which I think is one of your proudest. It should be one of your proudest, like, without getting stabbed. So that is definitely an achievement. All right, let me ask you this, because obviously I watch the World Series of Poker every year. You've been doing it for so long. How would you compare the most recent World Series of Poker in 2018 to the first year that you did it?
It's like night and day. First of all, the first year is before the boom started. So it used to be at Binion's Horseshoe, which was in downtown Las Vegas. And that place it smells of gambling. You walk in there, you smell two things. You smell people betting, and you smell urine from the bathrooms. So it was just this old school Las Vegas, and it was a lot smaller then, just a few hundred people. Now we have 7,000 or 8,000 people. So that alone, it going from small to large, going from the Binion's to the Rio, which is more corporate, and then the group of people. It used to be an older group of characters who had other lives, and now the majority of people who play at that level, grew up in front of their laptops or their desktops playing poker online as teenagers, and they just they have no background. They actually have never been out. They have the social skills of a fire hydrant. They don't talk to anybody. They're very, very good at what they do. They're tremendous poker players. But when you have them at the table, it's like playing against seven tree stumps. They got headsets on, they got hoodies on, they got sunglasses on, and so it's a whole different ball game now.
Norman, I'm just curious, who's the best celebrity player you've ever watched or covered?
The best celebrity player, there were several. Mm-hmm. For a while, and he stopped playing, and he got coaching from a very good pro. Ben Affleck was a very good poker player. And he used to come to the World Series of Poker.
Yep.
So he was a tremendous player. And then actually Jason Alexander, George Costanza on Seinfeld, he was a very solid player. And so, they were two very good. James Woods now, of all people, semi-retired actor. Mm-hmm. He plays in these small buy-in tournaments in Los Angeles, and he does tremendous at them. He plays all the time now. And he's great at all the games. Most of the other guys only play No Limit Hold'em. James Hold'em plays games. James Woods plays games I play, like Stud and Omaha and stuff like that. So, there's a lot of good actors out there. And I've always been surprised we haven't gotten more ex-athletes. That's another way to compete, obviously. Mm-hmm. So when an NBA player retires or an NFL player retires, we never get those guys. We never get those guys playing at the highest levels of poker, which surprises me.
Has Affleck just kind of pulled away?
Yeah, he just kind of pulled away. I don't think he liked being in the spotlight any more than he is.
Mm-hmm.
We had Tobey Maguire a couple of years at the World Series.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, not a nice guy. When the cameras came by, he would actually say the F word and profane stuff, so they couldn't tape anything he was doing.
Wow.
And we would tell him, Toby, you got a private life. You've come to the largest poker tournament in the world,
wow,
broadcast by the largest sports network in the world, and you don't expect our cameras to show you? Are you kidding me? So, he was a good player, and he played in the big private games, the big private game that was featured on Molly's Game, the movie from a couple of years ago. He was a tremendous No Limit Hold'em player for an actor.
Let's be honest. I mean, he had one good movie. He had one good Spider-Man movie. Does that really warrant that kind of reaction?
Yeah, I know. You're preaching to the choir here. He had one good movie, okay? You said it. And then for him to treat the crews like that, they were, invading his home
that is
when
bad.
He's in a public place playing the hugest poker tournament in the world, I will not give him another $12.75.
There you go.
I hear you on that.
Norman, this was a lot of fun, man.
Thank you for this.
Go Rams, I guess. I don't know what the hell you guys are rooting for there in California or L.A., but go Rams, I guess.
I guess, but I can't root for Kroenke and I can't root for Kraft. Those are two billionaires. It's hard to root for billionaires.
It is.
So, maybe it'll end in a tie. Bud Selig will say we'll settle it the next All-Star game.
There you go. Norman, appreciate
it. Thank you for this, sir.
All right. Have
great
a good
stuff.
One, guys.
Yep.
You too.
It is Norman Chad. That was great. I enjoyed that.
Fun.
How about that?
We learned that
Tobey Maguire is a D-head.
Wow.
I don't know if I would have thought that necessarily.
No, man.
I knew
you picture him as nice guy off the set.
I knew he played, but there's a movie that he's in. He's depicted in. It's called Molly's Game.
That's I heard him talking about.
Yeah, because he used to be big into it. I didn't know that he was that kind of guy. That's disappointing.
What are you dropping F bombs in a public place for?
Just
you
so know the cameras will come
gonna,
on you.
You know they're gonna be there. Come on.
I don't think I ever knew that. Did you?
Why would I know that?
Man, I don't know. I feel like that would have been like a story in the New York Times or something, that Tobey Maguire is an ass. But anyway, there you go. Appreciate Norm and Chad for joining us in that segment. We'll come back. Lots to get to in the rundown, including one Memphis football coach's contributions that will never be forgotten. As he takes a new job. We'll get into that and more. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Guest appear on the Sportsbook at First Jackpot Hotline.
Broadcasting on 92.9, 680 AM and online at 92.9ESPN.com. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Don't worry none, and I'd like to give a shout out to my with the game plan, and shout out to my niggas with escape plans, 20 bands, rain dance. We can eat the rain check or we can make plans. Pockets loaded, rocket loaded, can't let's rock and roll this. Time to go, lock, stop, and two smoking barrels locked and loaded. Diamonds blowing, chop, climbing on them. We think I'm jumping out the window, I got them open. Line around the corner, line them up, the block and over.
Sounds like. All right, we're back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Once again, thanks to Norma Chad for joining us there in that last
fun
segment. Yeah, he was good. He was great. And it is weird, like, when you think about L.A., we've talked to many an L.A.-er over the last few months, and they all tell us that nobody gives a damn about the Rams.
Oh, imagine if the Chargers were in the Super Bowl.
They played a 27,000-seat arena.
I think people in L.A. don't care right now if the Chargers have been in the Super Bowl.
I think the AAF will get a bigger crowd than 27,000 this year. Especially if, you know, I mean, I don't know if it'll be the Express, but a AAF game will get a bigger crowd than 27,000.
Man, I hope so.
Yeah, they probably are.
That's actually a pretty good crowd for.
Yeah.
I mean, well, professional football in Memphis for the first time since in a while.
Well, I will say, I got a text last night from my man Trey who reminded me that we are now a soccer town. We're no longer Hoop City. We're now a soccer town.
Yeah, I've been expecting you and Bennett to bring that flavor to the show.
What, soccer?
Yeah.
Oh, man,
professional soccer. You guys got to have hot takes.
They signed a guy yesterday. Mark Birch, I think is his name. Yeah, Mark Birch.
I need you and Bennett to have hot takes on the soccer team.
And he was, you know, I don't know if he ever played across the pond, which, as you know, that's where the best players go.
Yeah, I get it.
Right.
I'm capable of understanding that one, John.
You know, you think Manchester has one team?
No, I didn't say that.
What's the two Manchester teams?
Man United and Manchester City.
This man right here.
I'm very impressed.
You hate John isn't. He hates that kind of retention by the old black man.
Name me one more Premier League team and I'll be super impressed. One more Premier League team.
God, dog it. Give me a minute.
You can't Google. Can you name one?
The one Ronaldo plays for.
That's not Premier League. That's the
damn it,
Spanish league.
Why am I being tested all the time? I already passed the test.
Everton.
Okay, I wouldn't have gotten Everton Football Club.
Yeah, Tottenham Hotspurs.
Crystal Palace.
That's on third. Okay, you're right.
I don't know what the hell y'all talking about.
Yeah, it's on. Be careful of what they sell on third. The Jordans are fake. Just so you know, if you're driving around. Trying to pick up some new shoes on third. Just know.
Now you can get a lot of useful things on third, but you just won't get knockoff Jordans.
What is useful on third?
What
can you get that is useful on third?
Plenty.
Company.
You know what used to be on third?
What?
Sammy's.
Oh, that's right. Old Sammy's.
And you will never hear me say a bad thing about Sammy's.
He's an avid listener.
Yep.
We haven't heard from him in a while. Hope he's okay.
Man, at one time employed Larry Finch's kids.
Absolutely.
Anyway, we're getting too far off.
But it is a soccer town, and it's a soccer town, Jason, because of what happened last night and what's been going on, honestly, for the last month with the Memphis Grizzlies.
Interesting pivot. I like that.
We have to identify things that are successful, right?
Makes it easier to talk about.
And Memphis basketball, like the University of Memphis, I will vouch for them. They are. I won't say they're successful right now, but they will be.
They're successful. Will you all stop at like a loss to Tulsa is like the end of the world?
Dude, they got blown out.
You and NDQ ready to give up on this team?
No, I mean they got blown out.
It's
the
first year. It's all look. Go back to your original before the season started. This is all just a free swing this season. I mean, it really is. Yes, you're trying to build the foundation with you. And I know we're getting back in the Tigers. We want to turn it to Grizzlies, but you're building the foundation for your freshmen, and that is important. But come on. It's about to get greater later.
That's what I'm saying.
You're going to forget about Josh's first season. You forget about Cal's first season because it gets greater later. And that's the plan.
That's right.
Once you get and with this class coming in, we know it will. And so
that's exactly right.
There's no need to overreact to
greater later. I'm not overreacting. I'm just saying.
Should have been a win yesterday.
You think right now they are a successful team?
That's dude. The fact that they're 81 at KenPom in your first year as a college coach is successful.
They are.
Let's keep it in perspective. What success is for a first year college coach in his first season.
All right. Okay. Yeah. Granted. But they will be really successful next year.
Different level of success.
Correct. Like a success that is
nationally relevant.
That
success.
Is unassailable, right? Like a success that is.
You can't. Yeah.
You don't even have to say, "Oh, well, this is why." Like they'll just be good the next year, right?
You would still say this is more successful than what you had last year.
Oh, 100%.
It's the exact same record. 100%. 13-8.
Well, okay, because they
except for the conference record's different. Tubby Squad was 4-4 right now. Memphis 5-3. That's
correct.
The only difference. But the overall the same. The KenPom tells you everything you need to know.
Here's the
160 last year. It's 80 something. 81 this year.
People care again.
They're playing people.
People care again, yeah. Jason. Like that's the people going to the games. You know, that's the other thing.
Absolutely.
And so yes, in that sense, yes, it is a success so far.
I got triggered that time. I apologize. I took you off. We were pivoting to Grizzlies, and you triggered me about success.
Please don't get triggered.
What's successful? I don't know. They are successful right now.
Yeah, I mean they are.
And come out and crap the bed.
Pretty
successful first season.
They are successful in some sense. Yes, I agree.
Grizzlies are not.
Grizzlies are totally unsuccessful.
Because now, again, I'm sitting up here trying to convince you that you can still win enough to get out of 1-8 and convey that pick. And, again, you go out. And for the third straight game? It may be four straight. It's four straight games that have come down to one possession. You've won one of them. You've lost now three. And I told Jonathan, that line right there, you are right there.
Yep.
Like these last three, four games could have gone either way. And then you get the wins. You're right there in terms of being outside that 1-8 and where you want to be. You want to convey the pick. But, again, you come up on the short end. Again, it's with Mark and Mike playing really well, especially Mike Conley. He was great last night.
Mm-hmm.
And who's doing it? Who's the one doing it to you? Freaking Jared Bayless, man, of all people.
Jared
Bayless, dude, having a throwback game.
Yeah, you know, here's the most depressing thing about the Grizzlies, okay? There are many things to sift through.
Well, you can't go one side or the other.
The most depressing thing about the Grizzlies is that they are trying to win and they can't.
Right.
Like this is not an active tank job. This is not an active, you know, we're trying to lose here.
Right.
Jaren played. Jaren fought through food poisoning.
Right.
He must have had I don't know what it could have been. Who knows what it could have been? Maybe it was a well-done steak. Who knows? But he fought through
What's wrong with a well-done steak?
Everything. Everything humanly possible is wrong with a well-done steak. Maybe he put some ketchup on it, too, and the ketchup was bad. But he fought through it. Where did he get the steak? I don't know. Good question. I don't know what the Minnesota Steakhouse scene sounds like or looks like.
That's where it matters.
You're right. It's cold up there. You know, who knows? But he fought through it. So they are trying to win.
Unfortunately.
And they cannot do it. And that is very depressing. But
you can't go all in on a tank right now. What's the point of that? You're tanking as it is.
Right. I mean,
There's no catch in the top four.
Some of God's greatest gifts, a great country artist once said, are unanswered prayers. And your prayer is that they convey. Pray and convey is the official. But that
didn't work last night.
It's short-lived. I'm afraid it's short-lived because there's no more there should be no more.
Oh,
talk.
Last night was the buck stops on last
night's
loss.
No, I mean they just can't win. They cannot win. They cannot do it. This team cannot win.
I mean, they can beat the Knicks in two games. I can't say they can beat Charlotte because they just lost to them.
Can they beat the Knicks because they've lost to the Knicks?
Dude, are you aware? Dude, if they lose to the Knicks, John,
what are we going
to
do?
We have to do something.
What can we do?
Do you realize the Knicks? I've got this down. They have not once at home since like December 1st.
Well. Good thing the Grizz are coming in town.
So, like, two calendar months. You can't take them. What are they, 10-40? You can't get that Knicks win. I told you that. See, this is the part. This was some first.
They have already lost
where the
Knicks.
Schedule was
10% of the Knicks wins came against the Grizzlies.
I know, and you blew a double digit lead in that one.
Yeah, at home. So I mean, I want to come with you and say they'll beat the Knicks, but
how do you lose to a team that's trying to lose?
I don't know. I do not know.
You're right. It's like
and who knows what this team will look like then.
Yeah, you can't even get all the way down in hell. You know what I'm saying? It's like purgatory. You know what I'm saying?
Get all the way in hell.
You can't. It's purgatory. You're stuck. You're halfway between. You're stuck. Like you can't. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I think they're pretty close to hell, though. I think they're on the bottom half of purgatory. They're definitely not on the upper half of purgatory. If we're gonna go with this reference,
bro, you haven't seen hell yet until you've seen this thing without Mark or Mike. That's when you're gonna see some red hot fire, some nastiness.
What circle? Of hell.
One of the seven.
Okay, I'm just like, well, they're different, you know. Is it going to be like the second circle or like the fifth circle?
You think this is sorry?
Yes.
Bruh.
Yes, this is sorry.
You still got Mike and Mark going out there and giving you pretty big games here since it was announced they'd be traded.
But what's happening? L?
I'm just, what
after
you think
L, it's... after, so it's all going to be the same thing.
You and I both know the return on that. You're the one that goes around and preaches it on the return on the big stars is going to be less than what you – and you know it's not going to be good.
Now we got,
and that basketball, after they're gone, we know we've got to go through it, and it's a part of the process.
You know what?
That basketball is going to be hell.
You
brother.
Know what the seventh circle of hell is? Heavy minutes for Bruno Caboclo. That's the seventh circle of hell.
Dude,
that's what
don't
we're
even
get.
Speak ill of his name.
Big
he is a revelation.
Bruno.
Everyone loves him. Did you just hear Millsy chime in? You don't speak.
Did I say Bruno? I meant Shelvin. I meant he's going to get Shelvin. Shelvin's going to get 40 minutes.
You don't like the Brazilian Durant?
Huh?
You don't like the Brazilian Durant?
Oh, the Brazilian Durant. Oh, that's what we're going with? Yep.
That's what everybody else is saying.
He might as well be the Brazilian Durant.
You know how bad it is. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When something like that, you know what I'm saying, starts looking like a supermodel to you. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? When anything that can chew bubblegum and walk.
You're about eight drinks in.
And I give
it's 2:30 a.m.
He looks like he may be a good 3-and-D guy. Talking like he's the, oh my God, he's going to be a cornerstone of the franchise going forward.
It's like,
sign him up.
It's like Castaway when you're sitting there with Wilson. And Wilson starts to look like a pretty woman because you're hungry and you're thirsty and you're dying. You're just frankly dying. And you don't know what interaction with another human is like anymore. And so Wilson starts to look like a very beautiful woman. And And that's Bruno. That's Bruno. We're thirsty out here. We're dying. Parched.
We can all say that truthfully. We all are.
It's hard to – it's like they're just inventing ways to lose. You know, as opposed to just winning. I mean, Eric Hasseltine is on Instagram last night.
Where's Chris? Where's Chris Wallace?
Eric Hasseltine's on Instagram last night doing shots of Patron after the game. I'm telling you, it happened. That's how I don't blame him either, by the way. What the hell else are you going to do? What the hell else are you going to do besides a shot of Patron after that and after what this season? So I get it. But that's where we're at. In fact, I would say, Eric, go ahead and do one before the game.
No, John, stop it. We are not getting that dirty around here because the Grizzlies are struggling.
Well, listen, Tom Penders comes on the show drunk. I say, listen, we've created a precedent. It's clearly okay to be on the air when you're slightly buzzed or worse.
No, it's not. It's not.
I feel bad.
This is what 8 straight road losses does to you people. Got John contemplating whether Eric should drink before the game.
I'm not gonna drink.
I can
watch anything else in the world, you know. So that's
8 straight losses on the road. Where will it end?
I don't know.
The Knicks.
I mean, if it doesn't end with the Knicks, it will never end. It will go on.
Got Charlotte on Friday. It definitely ends with the Knicks.
Yeah, that's brutal.
On Sunday.
That was brutal last night. Another L for the Memphis Grizzlies. And then here's the other thing. Here's the other thing that's frustrating and depressing about the Memphis Grizzlies.
Oh, boy.
I mean, do we have any idea whether Mike or Mark is going to be moved?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world.
Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.